The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I'll be discussing how age is a main driver of disability in multiple sclerosis patients. Age is a main driver of disability in multiple sclerosis and has a key influence on patients' therapeutic responses to Tecfidera and Tysabri, a study showed. Given those findings, age should be considered in the risk-benefit assessment that's used in decision-making process for choosing MS treatments the researchers suggested. The study, the age-related efficacy of Tysabri and Tecfidera, real-world management of multiple sclerosis, was published in the journal Pharmaceuticals. A patient's age has a key role in modeling the immune system and therefore may affect both MS progression and an individual's response to treatment. However, most clinical trials undervalue age as a major contributor to disability in MS patients. Now, a team of researchers in Italy have investigated age-related influence on disability among people with MS in a real-world setting. These patients were treated with two approved disease-modifying therapies, or DMTs, specifically Tecfidera and Tysabri, both marketed by Biogen. The influence of age at disease onset also was assessed, along with the effect of disease duration on disability. Disability was evaluated using the Expanded Disability Status Scale, in which a higher score indicates a greater disability. The study lasted 36 months and compared two groups of patients. One comprised 173 people with mild to moderate MS who were treated with Tecfidera, while the other had 94 patients with high disease activity who were given Tysabri. Both groups were similar in average ages, ages at disease onset, and disease duration. The results showed that patients treated with Tysabri had significantly higher EDSS scores, an average of 3.5, compared with those treated with Tecfidera, whose scores averaged 2.5. According to the researchers, these results may be explained by two factors. Patients in the Tysabri group had higher disease activity, and Tysabri was used as a second-line therapy. Second-line means a treatment is given after the initial therapy fails to work or is found to be inadequate. This difference is consistent with the so-called second-line DMTs, reserved for patients suffering from a high-activity disease type, the researchers wrote. This data also showed that age of onset, and disease duration were all strongly correlated with EDSS in both groups, meaning that higher values in these three parameters were associated with greater disability. Of note, Tysabri-treated patients showed a greater ability to maintain lower EDSS scores over time versus high scores compared with Tecfidera-treated patients. These results suggest that Tysabri was better than Tecfidera in presenting disability progression at the initial disease stages. These observations agree in suggesting a neuroprotective effect of Tecfidera, which is more evident in the late stage of disease when degenerative damage occurs. This is unlike Tysabri, which demonstrates its main efficacy in the early stage when the neuroinflammation is prominent. High EDSS scores, those of 3.5 or greater, were typically reached at the age of 39 to 40, regardless of treatment type, the researchers also found. This suggested that there is an age-dependent threshold effect for reaching scores higher than 3.5. Specifically, 39 years of age represents a cutoff value beyond which patients' disabilities are prone to evolve regardless of the DMT, the researchers wrote. These results imply differences in neurological disability between the first and second line DMTs are detectable only before a determined age threshold, but not after. Overall, based on the findings, the team concluded that DMTs prescribed for MS must be given as early as possible to achieve the maximum effectiveness from first-line or second-line treatment. Additionally, age should be considered in the evaluation of risk-benefit for decision-making concerning DMTs in multiple sclerosis, given that it is a major contributor in disability in response to therapy in current management.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Ed Tobias.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Ed Tobias, MS Wire. The disturbing trend of caregiver abuse in the MS community. This is disturbing and unfortunately not surprising. More than 50% of people with advanced multiple sclerosis reported they've been mistreated by a family member or friend who cares for them, according to the results of a survey published last September by researchers at the University of California, Riverside. Much of this mistreatment, 44.2%, was described as psychological, often involving being insulted or sworn at in anger. This doesn't surprise me, because I often read about such situations on social media, in which the person with MS is complaining about a spouse or a parent. Financial misconduct was the second most common type of abuse, reported by 25.2% of those polled. This involves the caregiver taking cash or items without permission. Neglect, usually something like refusing a request for help, was reported by 16.5%. A little over 11% reported physical abuse, and just over 8% reported sexual abuse. Many things add to the risk of abuse. Dr. Elizabeth Morrison Banks, who led the study, told UC Riverside News, quote, "We knew we would find some level of abuse and neglect, but we were surprised by how prevalent it is." According to Morrison Banks, family members are often forced to help a person with advanced MS when they can't afford a paid caregiver. But those family caregivers may also be working full-time or caring for children. They may even have health issues of their own. All of these challenges can increase risk of mistreatment, Morrison Banks said. The telephone survey of 206 adults found that the risk of mistreatment increased when a family member served as the primary caregiver day after day with no breaks. A poor relationship with a caregiver prior to the onset of MS nearly tripled the abuse risk. Other risk factors included the person with MS having significant cognitive impairment or fatigue, or either the caregiver or person with MS using alcohol. Morrison Banks said, quote, "Being a full-time family caregiver for someone with substantial neurological disability often presents significant challenges. Many families take these challenges in stride, but others end up in situations of abuse and or neglect. Are there solutions? Morrison Banks and her team don't suggest any. They only raise a warning flag for healthcare professionals to be on the alert. Healthcare professionals should maintain a high index of suspicion. We can't assume that all people with advanced MS are living in safe situations, even if they don't bring up their concerns on their own," she said. But as people with MS, we also need to be our own advocates as much as possible. The National Multiple Sclerosis Society cautions that people with MS may not want to risk upsetting the people who are providing them with care and assistance. But we must. It seems that social media groups are where people with MS often reach out for help with abuse because their family caregiver doesn't understand, doesn't listen, or just flat out doesn't care. They find solace there, but not usually any real solutions.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.